Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, you've brought us a serious stack of sources today, all about the Mayorga universe. It's this huge, like, 150-year science fiction story, humanity facing extinction. But then there's this rescue plan from deep space.
That's right. And it's more than just a story. It's a really detailed thought experiment. So our mission today is to kind of cut through that massive timeline. We want to pull out the core ideas, look at the amazing technology, and really understand how society gets turned completely upside down. We're basically tracking humanity going from, self-destruct mode on a dying Earth to becoming this new intergalactic civilization on planet two.
Right. And the big question, the really fascinating part is, what actually happens when some advanced alien race just decides, okay, humanity's worth saving, and they step in and offer like a total species relocation? What does that do to a society, philosophically, economically, everything? Let's start with the crisis. Earth. The sources, man, they paint a really grim picture between what, 1925 and 2055. It wasn't just a slow decline, was it? It sounds like total free fall. Massive refugee movements, wars over resources, droughts, agriculture just collapsing. Society basically broke down into these desperate little pockets, all because of our own, bad habits.
Catastrophic, yeah. A total failure. And that failure is what triggers the intervention by the Z. Pronounced Z. They're representatives from the Galactic Council's Sentient Species Preservation Initiative. They come from a system way out in the Andromeda Galaxy, the place they call Dediza. And they didn't just show up randomly. They'd been watching us for generations, apparently, doing a long assessment.
Watching us tear ourselves apart. What did they see that made them think, yeah, let's save these guys?
Well, they saw our resilience, our adaptability,
yeah.
And this is key, our sort of latent evolutionary potential. They figured underneath all the mess, there was something worth saving. But, and this is huge, but they had this enormous problem, almost stopped the whole thing. The Z are, well, they're profoundly sensitive beings.
Okay, and this is wild. You don't just mean sensitive, like, emotionally. You mean biologically sensitive to our emotions.
Exactly. Being near humans and our raw emotional makeup, anger, deep sadness, even, like, intense happiness, it causes them actual physical pain. Disorientation. The sources mention things like nosebleeds, even bleeding from the eyes and ears. Imagine trying to save a species when just being near them makes you physically ill.
How could they possibly justify the risk then? It sounds like torture for them.
It was a massive problem, a huge barrier. Direct interaction was basically off the table. So there's a solution. It was clever and, frankly, necessary. Selective interbreeding. They created Z-human hybrids. Yeah, these hybrids could handle both sides. Biologically, emotionally, they became the essential bridge for communication, for everything.
So the Zumai literally bred their own diplomatic corps.
Okay.
And then came their offer, which was
complete species relocation.
Yeah.
Just abandon Earth entirely.
Yeah.
In return, you get these meticulously prepared new home worlds, advanced tech integration, and eventually galactic citizenship.
Yeah.
Survival, basically, at the cost of leaving your broken home behind.
Which brings us to the main human character, right? John Henry Foster. Elgato.
Yes, Elgato, the most important human figure. He's the first really high-profile hybrid. He gets mentored by this Nordic ET figure, Edwin Telemere. Foster had this background in military intelligence, and then he starts developing these ESP abilities. It made him kind of uniquely qualified for this impossible job.
He wasn't just a symbol, though. He actually led the Great Migration between 2030 and 2035.
He did, Operation Exodus. And the scale, it's just staggering. You have to wrap your head around this.
Okay, hit me with it.
The plan was to move over 9 billion humans, systematically, to about 3,500 prepared colonies spread across the universe. But the starting point, the main focus for us, is Planet 2.
Planet 2. Tell me about 2. It wasn't just some random habitable planet they found, was it?
Oh, not at all. 2 is what they call a super-Earth. It's 5 times the size of our planet, out in the M32 Andromeda Galaxy. And the Z didn't just find it. They terraformed it. Spent 700 Earth years doing it, starting way back, like 1173 AD Earth time. They actually tweaked its core, its orbit, everything, specifically to make it perfect for us. 24-hour days, 385-day years. Physiologically ideal.
Okay, 700 years is a long time, but the sources say the Z suddenly sped up the plan. Why the rush after all that time?
2 big reasons, yeah. 1, Earth was falling apart even faster than they'd projected, just total system collapse accelerating. And 2, maybe even more urgent, they found proof of another threat. They captured an Anunnaki weapon. The Anunnaki in this story are like this ancient slaver race, maybe even the ones who messed with early human genetics. So the Z realized they had to get humanity off Earth now before these guys potentially showed up again.
Okay, so it goes from rescue mission to, yeah, a race against time. And moving 9 billion people requires some serious logistics, which involves the collectors.
Absolutely vital. Michael Stetson, he's the main collector we follow, works for a Ziafront company called Global Acquisitions. His job was, well, part archivist, part smuggler, part cultural rescuer.
And he wasn't just grabbing, like, machines and food, right? His shopping list was pretty specific.
Oh, yeah. Super specific. Irreplaceable historical artifacts, yes. Manufacturing gear. But also endangered livestock, like northern white rhinos. He saved them. And, critically, people. They needed specific skills. So they'd recruit folks like Bob, an electronics whiz, or Amy, who loved animals, for the project.
That recruitment part sounds kind of creepy, though. They're spying on people to save them.
Well, yeah. It shows how secret the whole thing had to be, right? The collectors were monitoring emails, social media, interviewing neighbors, all without revealing the real reason. All low-key, cash-based, totally off the books. Michael even procured things like white lightning moonshine, just to scan it into the replication library, for posterity. They weren't just saving bodies. They were trying to save the flavor of humanity, too, down to the, you know, illegal whiskey.
That level of detail. Wow. Okay, let's shift gears. The technology. This is what makes Planet 2 possible, right? This move from scarcity to, well, crazy abundance.
It all comes down to replication technology. That's the absolute foundation. This tech lets you create basically anything complex, objects, food, materials, instantaneously, by just rearranging atoms.
Which completely breaks traditional economics, if you can make anything.
Exactly. Money becomes pointless. The source material makes this great point that humans are the only species on the planet that have to pay to live there. Replication ends that insanity. Think about it. Every home, every school, every hospital has a replicator. Need shoes. Done. Food. Instantly. Need a replacement kidney. Generated on the spot.
So the whole profit motive, the driver of so much conflict, just gone. But wait, what stops people just replicating, like, mountains of gold or endless stuff?
That's the psychological hurdle. Replicator discipline. We'll get to that. But the immediate effect is freedom. Real personal freedom. Survival labor is gone. So humanity is finally free to actually pursue intellectual growth, spiritual growth. You work because you want to contribute, not just to survive.
And this freedom extends to our own bodies, too. You mentioned regen technology.
Yeah, regen. It basically resets your genetic structure. We're talking about ending aging as we know it, eliminating inherited diseases. It doesn't just treat things. It rewinds your biology, gets rid of the decay. It totally changes the human lifespan, human potential.
Okay. Freedom from want, freedom from aging. What about distance? Moving between these 3,500 colonies must be tough.
Not with quantum navigation. It allows for, well, effectively instantaneous travel. It works by linking directly into the singularity. It's like tapping into the universe's underlying energy grid. Think Tesla's ideas about energy, frequency, vibration, but actually realized distance just stops being a barrier.
Even getting around on the planet itself sounds pretty advanced.
Oh, yeah. Tube transports. They fly through underground tunnels, speeds over 3,000 miles per hour. Planetary travel becomes trivial. And the infrastructure is amazing, too. The pipes for these tubes, they sort of grow into the ground using the same replication transport tech. No digging, no ecological mess. Mm. Totally optimized.
So, tech solves scarcity, aging, distance. The big remaining problem must be us, governing billions of humans fresh off a chaotic Earth. What replaces Earth's broken systems?
Tuku is run by a geniocracy at the very top. The idea is that the biggest decisions, the ones affecting everyone, are guaranteed to be made by the smartest, most capable people for the common good. The ultimate authority is the top five. It's old father, old mother, Z brother, Z sister, and the human hybrid, John Foster.
A geniocracy. How do they make sure it's actually the smartest and not just, you know, the best politicians?
Well, the philosophy behind it is all about merit, proven ability, contribution. And this geniocracy works hand in hand with a really minimal government approach day to day. Their core legal idea is that rights are ungrantable. They don't come from a government. They come from just existing as a sentient being, a gift from the prime creator, as they put it. The whole goal is just maximum personal freedom. Keep the government out of your daily life as much as possible.
That sounds like a massive culture shock for people used to taxes, laws for everything, chasing money.
It's the defining shift. The whole point of two culture is intellectual evolution. Since nobody needs to work for survival, the expectation is you go back to school, you find your real talents, you contribute creatively or intellectually. Your status isn't about wealth anymore. It's about how you grow, how you serve the community. Your personal mission changes completely.
But surely the Z knew announcing this plan back on Earth would cause instant panic, chaos. How did they handle that initial reveal?
They absolutely anticipated it. They knew the reveal would mean people quitting jobs, laws being ignored, total meltdown. So phase one was this huge coordinated move. They neutralized all global military systems simultaneously, just switched them off to stop wars breaking out. And then they launched the Z-Tech network.
Ah, the free global internet thing.
Exactly, Z-Tech. Free satellite internet and communication for everyone. It kept people connected and allowed the Z to broadcast this unified message of peace, explained the relocation plan. It was crucial for managing the initial shock.
And then the adjustment onto dealing with all that free stuff. You mentioned replicator discipline.
Right. That's the learning curve for newcomers.
Yeah.
You quickly realize, yeah, you can replicate a solid gold house and 50 steaks for dinner, but why? Do you need it? The discipline is learning to want less, to mature your desires, to understand that real abundance isn't about just having endless stuff. It's about valuing the intellectual, the creative, the collective good.
So, two isn't just a new home. It's positioned as humanity's shot at redemption.
That's exactly the word used. Redemption for humanity's self-destructive path.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, the sources hint, a kind of redemption for the Z, too, for their past non-interference policy failures. John Foster's welcome speech nails it. It is not utopia, but it is damn close. Here, status is not achieved by wealth, but by service. It's like a forced evolutionary leap, technologically and socially.
Man, this whole journey is just immense. From Earth falling apart to this post-scarcity, genetically perfect future, it's a lot.
Before we wrap up this dive, we got to mention some of those small, quirky details that make this Mayorga universe feel so real.
Oh, absolutely. They add so much texture. Like the fact that the Z are apparently huge Pink Floyd fans.
Oh.
Seriously, Pink Floyd.
Yeah. There's this Z musical genius, Marisa, who becomes obsessed with David Gilmour's guitar playing. Believed it was like proof that humans could express profound emotion without violence. Helped convince them we were worth the effort.
A rock band helped save the world. I love it. And the Z systems, they're heavily managed, right? Even down to things like HR.
Right, using highly advanced androids, like Melissa, this humanoid android who doesn't age. She functions as both security and an HR assistant in the colonies. It just underlines how structured and managed the whole transition is, ensures stability while humans adapt.
And the sheer numbers of the relocation. The plan was so specific. Moving billions, trying to eliminate scarcity, the root of conflict. Building those giant ark ships 3 kilometers wide, carrying 60,000 people each. They figured they can move 3.1 billion people in just 5 years that way.
The logistics were incredible. The tech was there. But there's always a but. One of the colony managers, a guy named Soldan, he points out the real challenge isn't the technology or the move itself. It's that you're moving humanity, and humanity brings all its baggage along the bad habits, the flawed culture, the emotional problems from Earth.
Right. Getting rid of scarcity doesn't automatically get rid of greed or tribalism.
Precisely. That's the real test for humanity on two, not just adapting to the tech, but transcending their own history.
Okay, so that leaves us and you with a final thought to chew on. If technology like this conquers death, scarcity, and distance, what's actually left for humanity to conquer? The Mayorga universe seems to suggest the final frontier isn't really outer space, it's inner space. Overcoming our own history, our own worst impulses. So think about this. What part of your life right now would become totally obsolete, totally unnecessary in a post-scarcity world like Planet 2?